back to the Challenge War of the Worlds wrap-up podcast for episode 7. I am Brian Cohn. Here's me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Asher. Ali, how are you?
I could barely get my headphones on my head, honestly, today, Brian, because I got recognized in person.
No.
Yes.
Wow. Paparazzi.
How do you like that?
I need the full story.
I was giving a tour. It's preview weekend at Michigan Law, so all the admitted students are checking out the scene, and because I'm overeager, I'm giving tours, and I introduce myself, we go around, blah, 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 and this guy comes up to me and is like, are you Ali Asher from Rob Has a Podcast? And I was like, I am Ali Asher from Rob Has a Podcast. And he, like, very clearly, he doesn't listen to this show. He was just like, oh, I recognized your voice first and then your name. And I was like, oh, when you're on with Rob, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, okay, not a Challenge fan. But he was like, oh, this must be huge for you. Like, I loved him immediately because he immediately, like, took all of the wind out of it. It was just like, oh, it's like, you must be super excited that I noticed you. And like, I was playing it
this
cool.
This must be the biggest moment.
And then I was just like, yeah, I'm like starstruck by you. And then I often talk about, like, doing the podcast and Survivor watch parties to, like, show that you can do things that aren't related to law school, blah, blah, blah. But, like, every time it came up, I had to, like, look at him and be like, I swear I'm not pandering to you. Like, this is just my life. I'm sorry.
In a plot twist, maybe he's going to be the lead bid on the Challenge podcast to come on.
No, because he doesn't know about it because he doesn't listen to the show.
Well, maybe he's going to go look up your Twitter and see that and be like, oh, I should go bid so I could go join the podcast.
Oh, do you think I didn't mention to him 80 times that I was donating a job spot on my podcast? Please.
Well, I know we all can't wait to see how that the final bid turns out. So we're all very excited for that final tally.
Well, so I wanted to talk about it, but I wasn't sure if we should talk about it at the end or if it's like the people who complain that, like, we talk about the drinking game. But I'll just say it really quick because I think it's interesting. First of all, if you were jazzed about Akiva getting a lot of tweets, you're really going to blow your head off when well, I hope you don't do that. But you're really going to freak out when I tell you what the current bid is. Now, we're recording a 6 p.m. Thursday. The winner will have been, I was going to say selected. We will know the winner before this airs. It closes at 11:59 p.m. tonight, Brian. And listen, like, I already told you, these things don't get a lot of bids. People don't have a lot of money. It's like student stuff. Like, right now, four tickets to a Mets game in New York with free food is going for $155.
So clearly ours is $156.
Okay. Is what? Yeah, right. So this engages. Some people are giving people very hilariously on Twitter have been responding like about the other auction items because the related packages are a beer pong emergency kit and a freshwater fish tank setup going for $10 and $5 respectively. Again, right now. And you
that sounds about right.
And again, to hedge, you know that how bidding works. Like, people don't really want to bid until later. Right. So, like, now that you know all of that information, Brian, thank you to everyone who supported this, who retweeted it. I mean, RJ people were retweeting it. People were bidding. It was very exciting. I wanted to raise money for this cause. I also did not want to embarrass myself. People at Michigan did not think this was going to get bid on. The powers that be put me at $1 increments thinking that this was a trash item. Brian, do you have a guess as to what the current bid at this hour at 6:02 p.m. on Thursday is?
I'll bid... I'll guess $33 in honor of Challenge 33.
All right. Do you want me to tell you or do you want me to be like higher or lower?
I think just tell me. If we do higher or lower, I think we'll get
it.
We'll get complaints.
$205.
No way. What the hell?
So thank you seriously to everyone. This has been the thrill of my life. Better than being recognized to see that people are willing to donate this amount of money, to come on and talk to us schmoes. We really, really appreciate it. I can't appreciate it. I've been walking around with the biggest ego going. I'm like, you see my item? To the people who, you slept on my item? You've been sleeping on my item? Look at that. Highest student item, higher than some professor items, higher than some other items. Like, what did you call our listeners? Like, the drunk ant army? Like, this is in full effect. So thank you. Thank you to people who, who bid it even up to this much, who are like, forget that I'm not paying $200. I don't blame you, but I appreciate that there's someone in the world who is.
This could be our new thing. We could become the ultimate philanthropists. We just keep charging people more and more and keep giving the money to different charities all over the world. And we're just raising money for everyone just by the honor of speaking with us.
I mean, that's what people do to make money, right? Like people just charge people to listen. So since we've never done that, I'm happy that people are like paying it forward. We will now talk about the episode, but this has been a thrill. Wow. I've been thinking of like tweeting out like,
what was the total again? 220.
205.
Okay.
But wow. Two things. One, last year when I had to throw a freaking Survivor party and a video chat with Survivor of your choice, three people pulled together $84. Now, granted, that's when you bid. I'm overhyping this. Like, it's harder to sell to law students than it is to, like, the general public. Like, that's the one advantage my item does have. But, and the other thing is, I was thinking, I just wanted someone to bid. It got to, like, $15, and I was like, Dianu. I'm going to say Dianu for the second time on this podcast, but like it would have been enough. That's fine. Then it started getting up and I was like, you know what? If it goes to $100, I'm going to lose my mind. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe like in the final stretches, I'll tweet out like for $100, I'll thank you on this podcast, every podcast for the rest of the season. Now I'm starting to think like I'm going to look at what it is at like 9:30 and I'm going to make that offer. Like if we could get it to 250, I will thank that person every single day on the podcast until the end of the season.
That's incredible.
All right.
Wow.
So look at you. You did good without doing anything. Although now we will have to talk to whoever this person is.
Yeah. To buy them a $205 platter. Get their money's worth.
All right. So let's do what we came here to do. And let's talk about This Means War, which was the episode title this week. And I actually took the time to confirm that... As we thought after the first two episodes, it is confirmed every episode title has been movie titles this season.
Oh, I totally forgot about that because I guess none of them really stuck out. So there we go. This is War.
Yeah. So I want to start off doing something that I never thought I would do, which is give a small amount of credit to Bear. In the beginning of this episode, I truly thought it was going to be Bear's best episode, and then maybe actually this might still be Bear's best episode, but he lost it for me at the end. But when they're talking about the UK alliance, it's like Bear, Ashley, Theo, and Georgia. Notably, Kyle's left out here. I thought kudos to Bear for identifying Polly as the biggest final threat and being willing to step off of his personal thing with Wes and be like, that's a story for another day. We need to target number one, Polly and Ninja.
Yeah, and I wonder if how much of that also when you're coming off a win in elimination, you kind of have a little more confidence. You're free the next week, so you can kind of like target some people that may not necessarily be targeting you to get out of some big fish. So that I wonder how much that was playing a part of it as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And then I would have given him credit for that more, but like he had a better like there was a much better way to go about this than how he went about it. So I almost feel like Bear somehow doesn't care at all if he's targeted as a result of his actions. But yeah, I mean, he was definitely feeling the relic in his pocket there.
Yeah. I mean, I think people of this whole season have gone about things very oddly, and most notably, I think Wes this week. So it's been a very odd strategic decision making season.
I also, to Wes's credit, I mean, I'm a Wes fan, so it's not that surprising here, but I definitely started out with the hotter take. But I like how Wes talks about Bear, how he's like, you know, instead of giving us the Devin and Banana shtick of like, we're not rivals, and then they have a 5-hour fight about like whether or not they matter to each other, is like, Wes is like, I don't like him and I don't like it, but he's becoming my rival. God damn it. He's gotten under my skin. Like that was refreshing to see.
Well, I think it's harder to discount him as a rival as opposed to Devin, whereas Devin's always like the underdog and he's not even that good in challenges. So push games to shove. He's not that much of a threat in a final, where Bear is clearly in a majority alliance, has a lot of people looking out for him, and they just show that he's a good competitor. So yeah, he's absolutely would be anyone's rival.
I mean, to suggest that Devin is not a rival to Bananas, like I more like the way I took it. I take your point. But what I see in this is like Wes is admitting that Bear is getting to him. Like Bear is getting under my skin. And maybe that is because he's like somewhat more of a threat physically. But I took this to more mean like Bear's antics. Like he's actually getting to me, as opposed to the fight last season of like, you're not in my head. I live in your head.
And how about Nani, of all people, being the strategic mind on the other side, being like, what are we doing?
Yeah, she dropped a smarten up. We got a smarten up, like Boston Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, as she pointed out, as the numbers get smaller, their majority is closing in on actually being a majority. So it's trouble times for the U.S. alliance.
Yeah, it's interesting that I think definitely the more strategic women who are like Devon and Cam saw that from the jump. I mean, they should have seen that earlier, but like maybe because they're newer to the game, they feel like they're going to be closer to the bottom and they have to read the room, whereas Nani felt maybe like, oh, I'm with Bananas and Zach, no problem. But like, it's like the bus left without you, Nani, and now if you're not with them, you're against them, and she's like now getting together the Misfit Alliance and Gus, Kyle, and Jenna. It's like pretty embarrassing, but at least they're acknowledging what we've said all along, which is like, you've been eating each other. There are bigger threats and you haven't been going after them.
And yet they still don't know how to capitalize on that, even when they see it right in front of them.
Do you think there's hope for them, or do you think it's exactly what Nani said, which is like, they'll all make it to the final, watch?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that why I think the UK will probably all, at least two of, if not all three, will make it to a final, just because they're probably three or four of the strongest teams left. So even if you put them in eliminations against Gus and Jenna or whoever, they're probably just going to keep winning. So even if you get them in a position to be knocked out, they'll just win their way to the final.
Yeah, I mean, I still do think like Ninja and Polly are going to be really hard to get rid of. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that Polly and Ninja would have won this elimination if they went in. Like, I think they're going to be really hard to get rid of. And in the right circumstance, I think Wes and D might be hard to get rid of, although Wes is, you know, not the young buck he once was.
Yeah, but if you're Polly and Ninja, like, if you feel you could beat anyone in a final, why would you risk calling out someone like at Ashley, like Ashley and Cam's team? Why not just go up against Gus and Jenna? Like, you might just be, you're,
no,
probably,
I think
just
they're
better off,
get
just
cut off. But then you're like, how many people are going to the final?
Right. Right.
I agree. Three, I don't think probably. Paulie and I think Paulie's going to call out Maddie and Kyle till one of them is gone, even though it's not even that big of a rivalry anymore. I just think like that's going to be their pick, because also like the rest of the teams are pretty strong. And I think Kyle and Maddie are still pretty beatable by such a, like, by comparison. They're not going to go against Theo and Kara, maybe Georgia and Hunter, but, you know.
It's been nice to have the Paulie and Kyle stuff on the back burner for the last 2 weeks. That's kind of been nice.
I think, and I might be crazy, but I would take the Kyle, Kara, and Paulie thing all day over the Josh hits on Amanda segment.
Oh, well, yeah, that's fine, because that's like like that was the most out of nowhere scene like that. I feel like that was like cut from like week one, because I was just so confused by that dynamic between them two.
But then he's doing it on their way out, which had to be this week.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very odd. I don't know. I can't even speak. I just like the, like, for Josh, like, that was like the most oddball pairing I think we could ever come up with, like a challenge couple, Josh and Amanda.
I don't remember Josh like being like this on Big Brother, but he was, and so somebody can cry, I'm, you know, not a feedster or whatever, so like somebody can yell at me about this. I'd be very interested to see if Josh was like trying to showmance with anyone. I know that like everyone's more cuddly in the Big Brother house, even when they're not in a showmance, so maybe he was like feeling fulfilled by that. But, you know, hearing Josh, who was in the Big Brother house for a million days, be like, I need a female touch. It's like, what?
Right.
Like, first of all, gross regardless. But second of all, like, you only been in this house like 15 days.
Hanging out with Kyle too much.
Oh, God. And then him trying to twist it like this is Josh flirting. Like, I just think for the betterment of our team, you know, like, well, whatever. I'm not even going to say what he said, but it was gross.
gross. Not good. Oh, man. Yeah. Yikes.
All right. Let's go to the challenge just to get away from this, as far away from
this
as possible. Please.
Eye in the Sky, a very interesting challenge, something they've never done before that I can remember. You're up 100 feet in the air, back to back, tied up with your partner. One of you is blindfolded. The other one is wearing VR goggles, so you're the other person's eyes, and you have to walk across a couple balance beams, get to the other side.
Who is designing these challenges? I need to know. It is time that we start, you know, we know Matt Van Wagenen does Survivor challenges. Like, we need to make whoever is designing these challenges for the challenge a household name.
Yeah, I mean, this was brilliant. This was so creative and so well done. And, you know, I hope they do more of this stuff, not just like in other formats of like the blindfolded VR, like all these different eye. Like, it's brilliant, and it was like very captivating, and I was in on it. It was a great challenge. Great.
They have been giving us new eliminations, new challenges, like really raising the bar, no pun intended, for the elimination this week. But
I was like, what was the pun?
My one issue with it, and I'm glad we tried it. I'm glad we tried it. My one issue is this made for pretty boring watching after like the initial explanation and maybe the first round, in my opinion. And I feel like the editors sort of admitted that by how much time was spent at Bear yelling at Polly and Natalie. Like, we get it, he yelled, but we saw like 5 full minutes of Bear just screaming at the top of his lungs. Right. Like, if that's the most interesting thing happening in this crazy, cool new challenge, like, we need to change it a little bit.
Yeah, but I feel like that's almost every challenge when they go in heats, like do anything multiple times. By like the 5th, 6th, 7th time, you kind of get the sense of it. But it was just interesting to see. I thought it was interesting to see how each of them would communicate, how they would all do, and just some of the different strategies each of them would come up with, like who were the eyes, who were the walkers and stuff. I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty slow. I mean, because they went 2 at a time, so it was like, I'm glad you enjoyed it more than me. But
there you go.
To the strategy point, like, I thought Kyle and Maddie had a really interesting strategy, because at first I would think, okay, I'm afraid of heights, I'm not getting blindfolded. But kind of clever to be like, okay, the person who's the most afraid should just be blindfolded because you can't feel anything. Yep. I would lose my mind, but I thought that was clever.
No, absolutely. I have you ever done one of those like VR goggle things where to like experience something like that? Because it's truly frightening if you're like looking at it yourself.
No, I haven't. Have you? I mean, it seems like you have.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one of those like VR rooms in like the city I went to one time, and it's like you feel it, like you feel that you're like all the way up there. So if you're scared of heights, you are 100% rather be the blindfolded person and just imagining you're not even like up in the air and you're just walking on a beam, rather than even worse, like looking through something and not even be able to control the way you walk. Like, absolutely be blindfolded.
Maybe this is why it felt a little slow to me. Like, it kind of ended up seeming like it was the people who were blindfolded were actually leading, and the people who were in the goggles were more just like following the feel. Like, it almost seemed like it didn't 100% work that the people could see, you know, people like Nani kept having to tell Turbo, like, I'm only seeing off your helmet. And then you see Gus is the one who's like making the call to jump because he's counting his own paces blindfolded, which is insane. But I don't know. It felt like more like what Theo said. It's like more of like a trust exercise. They're shuffling along together.
Yeah, and it was good to see no one like kind of backed out. Some of these side challenges, you see people like completely quit or like do whatever. Everyone like gave it their full effort, even though they didn't do well. Everyone gave it everything they had. So that was good to say.
Anything else stand out from this challenge?
Not the challenge itself, but seeing Gus and Jenna actually win was quite shocking.
Well, they deserved it. I was really, really impressed by Gus in this moment. I mean, to jump blindfolded is... I'm starting to think maybe Jenna's right. They are just like silent but deadly.
Yeah, I mean, they really have no one coming out to, after them. Like, no one has even come close to saying their name, not that I remember, you know, like in any fashion. So they're in a pretty good spot, especially now that the person who could have gone after them, Amanda, is gone too. So
yeah, so they win along with Wes and D and Baron Davon. I mean, no one was more impressed with Gus and Jenna than TJ.
Yeah, giving him good compliments and well deserved. I love Wes. Right when he was done, he's like, "We won. We killed it." he has that sense of when he does well or something.
What was your reaction to Baron Davon being a part of the tribunal? Because that was really the buildup.
It's so funny that I wonder now. There's at least 2 weeks in a row, but how many times the person who has won the previous elimination has gone on to then be in the tribunal? Because now it's at least 2 in a row, because Wes did it last week, and I can't remember. I feel like it's probably happened before, but I wonder if that's now a trend we're going to start seeing of the people who win the elimination have like a little more freedom, less pressure, and then they go on and do well and get in the tribunal.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, they also have the most, like, the freshest vendetta, like, where they're probably the most motivated to end up in the tribunal so that they can get revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm never rooting for Bear, but I was okay with it only because I was like, I was ready for Polly and Ninja to go in. Like, I was ready for a shakeup at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I figured that you would think that after the conversation we had previously that Wes, D, Gus, and Jenna would all be on the same page. So theoretically, Bear and Davon's vote shouldn't matter. So I thought if they win, it was kind of like a useless win because they're safe and they probably won't even have power.
But turns out.
Turns out.
Let's talk about this, because this was a very confusing deliberation to me of who wanted whom in and why.
Yeah, and to me, the most confusing of it all was Wes's mindset, because I'm still trying to comprehend his burn vote slash avoiding pushback and stuff. So Edward Morris asked, why did Dean Wes burn a nomination on Cam and Ashley? Do you know any reason why?
I mean, so Wes said, like, I'm going to make a strategic burn vote, or like an interesting, how would he call it? He was like an interesting or like intelligent burn vote.
Yeah, no, I think he said strategic burn vote.
I mean, this must be a product of like Wes having been away from the show for a little while. You don't burn a vote on Cam. Cam does not adjust well or take a burn vote well. And it was confusing too, because like they're not working to, maybe Cam and Ashley and Wes are like working together, but I don't think, if you've met Cam, I don't think you realistically burn a vote on her. Unless, no, I was just going to make something up, but I don't know. I was going to say, like, unless you're trying to like put somebody else's name in the mix, I feel like once you break the seal on somebody, maybe somebody else is just like, well, they're already bent about this, so maybe we put them in. But it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, especially because like the phrase this as a burn vote, when this, if he wanted to just do this as his vote, it would have made complete sense, because all he keeps talking about is got to break up UK, and this would go towards doing that. So I don't, like, he's not even burning a vote. This is just his strategy.
Unless he was thinking, I'm not going to get the person I want in today, so I'm just going to call them out, but it's burning the vote because they're not going in. Maybe it is a real target.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get the votes together. But I'm trying to think, like, would Gus and Jenna not vote for them? Like, and then I also later was confused, like, why was Nani not in Jenna's ear earlier? Like, why after you vote them in are you now in Jenna's ear? Because I think Jenna would have been receptive to it. But now that she's, I didn't disagree with Jenna. Like, once you've already burned her, you just have to follow through. Like, you can't do the half measure.
Yep, totally. Yeah, so no one's mindset really... this was by far the most confusing tribunal. I didn't understand really anyone's motivation.
Yeah.
Except for Bear and Davon, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but I almost don't understand Davon's. I mean, Bear's, like, let's talk about this. Like, okay, Pauly is undoubtedly, and I believe, going to protect Davon at every juncture. At least as long as Davon would be willing to protect Pauly. Like, I think that is a legitimate alliance between them. It's not like Pauly has many other friends. I think there's protection there. I do agree with Bear that you will not beat them in the final.
Yep.
But, like, at some point, like, how much, like, I don't know. Pissing off Pauly is also pissing off Kara. Who knows who's going to win out in a debate between Theo and Kara? I just think it was, like, the wrong move now.
To go after them.
To go after Pauly.
Yeah, I also I think I got each of their mindsets, and I wonder if this was not even the fight worth fighting for Davon, because I feel like she kind of came off exactly how she needed to. Like, Bear wanted to do it, and Davon was shown to defend Pauly, and I think Pauly understood that, so I don't think he even takes offense to it. But I feel like there's battles to pick with Bear, and I don't think this was one that was like necessary to be fought, because like she had to know, like, there weren't votes to vote them in, so just let him get his way and then vote with whoever Wes and Dee and Gus and Jenna want, and they're the team that's going to go in.
I guess, like, I wasn't convinced that there were going to be no votes for them. Like, I thought Wes and Dee were going to vote for Bear. Dee hates Bear. They also are against the UK Alliance. Like, I fully thought they had the votes to get them in.
But I mean, like, if Davon just went along with voting Pauly and Ninja, like, no one, like, I feel like the other four other two teams wouldn't have voted them in.
Oh, not Baron. I'm sorry. Yeah. Pauly in. Sorry, I just said the wrong thing. Yeah. I thought that Wes was going to be willing. Look, we don't really know who Wes is working with, but I thought Wes would have been like, sure, that's another person I could get out and not blame myself. Like, it's really Baron Davon's fault. I'm just going with the group and their biggest threat.
But then just vote. But then you could just vote with Gus and Jenna, and then you get a 3-3, and then see you make one of them blank or something like that. I feel like there was a way, like, there was not a clear, like, if Pauly was nominated, he's 100% going in.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a
draw the line.
Weren't we surprised that Wes ended up voting in Josh and Amanda?
I was, yeah, because I thought he would vote the UK people, and Pauly theoretically would be against the UK people.
You thought Wes was going to continue his vote with Cam.
Yeah.
And get Josh and them on board. I don't know. Once Paulie went in, I think it's reasonable for Devon to worry that Wes and Dee would jump at the opportunity to get Ninja and Paulie out. Because they fully everybody has to know that Paulie stands in their way. Although Devon, her logic was like, Bear, you don't be the one to vote them in and let Wes put them in. Because that was the other thing I was unclear about. Unless Wes walked right in and said, I'm doing Cam and Ashley, like, Davon's whole fight with Bear is like, please just don't be the team to put them in and let Wes and Paul, like, he didn't, Davon didn't, I'm not explaining myself well tonight, for a change. Davon didn't want Paulie not to go in. She didn't want him to go in at her hand.
Right.
Which I think is right.
It is right, but you could also, even if they're nominated, not vote for them to go in, and then it wouldn't, I feel like there's a way to make that not go back on you.
But it's going back on, I think what Paulie has said is what you'd expect it to be, which is, you've now dissolved our alliance. If I determine that you're the best target to get out, I will send you in and our friendship will be fine because you sent me in, or your partner did. Like, I don't think Paulie would blink at sending them in. The only logic to me, not the only logic, but the only saving grace for me here is, like, you know that Paulie will always be going after Kyle. So to switch and vote in his friend Devon would mean to give up the ego trip against Kyle. And so maybe you're at least safe until he gets rid of Kyle, and then maybe things die down or you're repairing things by then. But in terms of not picking the battle with Bear, yeah, fine. Maybe you only have like one spot to pick with Bear. But at the same time, it seems like Devon will never be allowed to pick a battle with Bear. Like, I don't think there are battles you can pick with Bear and not pick with Bear, because he's fought her on every single decision.
He has, but I think she won the who we bring into elimination last week.
No, she said you're the one who picked who came into elimination. He agreed with that.
I thought they really came, like, they each had their person they wouldn't say, and then they kind of came to, like, a middle ground. Like, why would she have to protect Leroy? Like, that was a perfectly fine person for her to go after.
She's friends with Leroy, but I do think she said in this episode, like, we don't even really need to, I mean, she said in this episode, I let you pick elimination, you're letting me pick this. And he wasn't like, no, we agreed on that. He was just like, no, I also pick this.
Yeah.
I just think Bear is completely insufferable.
Well, that's totally true.
To this point, a strategic player, maybe with the relic, would have said, let's not get in the tribunal. And the next day, I've been massaging the UK people and they're going to send Paul in. And then he can't pick us. Yeah.
That's the move. That would probably be the better move.
I think it's going to take more than one shot to get Paulie and Ninja out. And I just wouldn't want to put myself in the line of fire, because also, I don't think Paulie and Ninja would bat an eye at calling them into elimination if somebody else ends up putting them in and they're not protected.
Calling out, yeah. If you get on Paulie's bad side and try to make it about, like, his manlyhood, he would definitely go after you.
Well, look at who else you have. I don't think Paulie wants to go out after Ashley and Cam. I don't think they want to go after, they're not going to go after Theo and Kara. They're Georgia, right. Between Georgia and Hunter or Bear and Devon, you know, you're looking at probably wanting the weaker man, because Ninja could beast any woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bear's weaker than Hunter in many respects.
In certain spots, totally.
So when you're sort of like the weakest of your alliance, like, you just let yourself be a target by Paulie and by Kara. I don't know. I didn't think it was like, there was wisdom to it. I'm probably coming hard on Bear because I can't stand him. He was right. Paulie is standing in his way, but I just didn't think this was the right way to do it.
That I agree with.
And in the style of it, like, when they get to the hearing, which is now what I'm calling that, I decided.
that works for me.
Like, Bear's whole thing is, you're the best of the best. But instead, they walk in and they could just say, look, I can't run a final with you. You're great. What he ends up saying to confessional, he should say to them. Instead, he's like, you're going in, you're going in. I'm Bear, and I'm telling you, you're going in. Like, why needle them if you're doing it in, like, you know, you're a big threat, so I'm respecting you.
No one knows subtleties, especially when you're face-to-face with the person. That's not this new corrupt of people.
But he said it later to their face at elimination. That was so bizarre. I'll shut up now. I'm tired.
Oh, man. Wes laughing at Ashley and D being like, don't laugh was very funny.
That was weird. The whole, like, did Ashley threaten him? Like, sort of. It was very weird.
Yeah. It was like, don't poke the, don't make him turn to the Hulk or something like that. It was very funny.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Ashley's a weird egg. I thought this was not a good episode for him.
Yeah, I mean, his strength is in challenges and, you know, beast moding it or whatever. Yeah, his charm is not what's going to propel him far in the game.
His strength is his strength.
Yep.
And then, like, Amanda and Josh are getting mad at Jenna voting them in. Like, how is she surprised? Like, I was surprised because obviously Zach was protecting Amanda when he left. But I also wasn't surprised at all and was more surprised that Amanda was shocked.
Yeah, well, that's Amanda. Is she going to get, is she ever going to be like, okay with being nominated by anyone? So this was very not surprising.
It was funny that she goes in and she's like, why didn't you put Cara and Theo in? And Gus just starts screaming, clearly showing that he has no idea what he's about to say because he doesn't need to be screaming. And he's like, randomly, like, would you rather me have just put in Hunter? Like, what? And then Jenna speaks, voice of reason. Gus, for future reference, just don't speak and let Jenna speak. Because she very calmly is like, look, I'm not playing Zach's game. I think that was your mistake. Like, I'm doing what's good for me.
Yep. Yeah, and she said that earlier when the whole Zach being voted in topic was coming up. And I mean, that was her case too. I'm not playing Zach's game. I'm playing my own game. So she's sticking to her code.
Did she do the right thing by her, though? Or was this still like an extension of Zach's game?
I don't think it's really, I mean, it's more of an extension of her game by going after someone that she doesn't like. Really, the better move would be going after UK, like what Wes wants to do. That's like, they need to start getting some of these people out, especially when you're safe in a week that they can't go after you that week. Like, you have to take a shot.
Yeah, I mean, when I say extension of Zach's game, I more mean like, yes, things have been personal between Amanda and Jenna, but because of Zach, right? Like, I almost wish Jenna, not necessarily would work with her, but just could like move forward and see the avenues. The reason I think it could be the right move for her is like, she might still be playing, I don't want any enemies. Amanda's never going to be my friend. I've already screwed her. So let me just keep saying her name. Like, that to me does make sense and would be how Jenna plays. She's not here to make big moves. Also, who knows when her and Gus will ever be in the top again.
Right.
But it's probably a little late, especially with the mounting counter UK alliance, to be trying to not make any enemies.
Yeah, but this could be a good opportunity to kind of hide behind Wes. Like, if you just piggyback off Wes's vote, Wes is clearly going to be the one that takes the heat from the UK people, and you can just kind of slide on in there and vote. And I feel like Wes would be the target of their animosity.
Well, part of that must be difficult. Like, who's the first vote, right? Like, who knows? If they go to Wes first, what happens?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, Wes was the last people to vote, right? Yeah, so I guess who the order does matter.
Now, I don't have any, you know, delusions that the producers don't know exactly who they're voting for and like they have to like lock in their vote maybe before, and who knows, they could switch, right? But like, but I still think it's a big deal to be Jenna and be the first vote cast against a big team.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's a fair point about the order, about if you're first, you're not in the middle, or yeah, that's fair.
The other thing that's tough with this is like why I think it might be a little bit of the wrong move is like, now Jenna and Gus are very clearly the layup team. Like, they almost were like, Amanda and Josh were like a good layup shield where, you know, someone's probably going to call out Josh and Amanda before Jenna and Gus. And certainly for Wes, you know, you're thinking they're going to, at least for a few more weeks, want to call out those teams.
Yeah, that's kind of a good point. It's kind of the opposite of a strong player keeping another strong player there. That's to kind of keep the weak people around so she don't stand out as weak. Although I guess they did show their sort of strength in the challenge, so maybe that'll throw people off their scent.
Yeah, I mean, this to me wasn't, it's like what Theo said, like, it doesn't matter if you have agility or strength or blah, 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 blah. It's like, this was great. I don't want to take it away from them. They were bold, they were ballsy, but like, I don't know that this necessarily translates into like big challenge threat in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had our second club scene of the season.
Yes, we did. Girls night. Kyle screams.
Basically, yeah, we got a little bit of Cam and Theo without Leroy, Nani and Hunter. couple romantic couples percolating.
Love is in the air. Maddie and Kyle share a smooch in case anybody wanted to know if they were still at it.
Yep. Nani, a little bit too late putting Amanda and Jenna together. Maybe should have had that before they picked who was going up on the block.
Yeah, actually, I thought Amanda handled herself well here. Like, I mean, what she was saying was crazy to be like, Kara disrespected you and Zach, but like, Amanda, you disrespected him and Zach. Right. But, right. You know, like she was saying, like, I should have told you earlier about the Bumble thing, but like, if Zach were here, what would he want you to do? Like, not telling her, because I don't think Jenna likes to be told what to do directly, but. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to ask you a very obvious question and wait for you to come to the answer. I thought that was good of Amanda.
Yeah, I feel like this was probably early on in the night because they all seem pretty sober. So I wonder how this conversation would have went if it was like 3 hours later. But yeah, that was all. It was pretty good by all around. Just bad timing by Nani. Should have done it earlier.
Although I do wonder how heavy the pregame is for them to go out, because Theo must have been hammered to put on the outfit that he had on that night. Do you notice this?
I'm very bad at that because everything looks, I don't know, I can't pull off most of the stuff that they wear, so it all stands out to me.
He's wearing like this like silk printed shirt with like jewel tones, like blue. It was like a tan like smock with like blue and red jewels, and then he's wearing like black shorts.
The black shorts I could pull off.
Yeah, well, maybe. And then yeah, that's really it. I was so distracted by that, I like couldn't really focus on anything else.
Yeah, and Ash doesn't like how Josh and Amanda are politicking around, because, you know, obviously you don't do that in this show. That's very rude and very mean, and you should call people out for doing that.
Amanda did tweet a correction here. I pulled it, put it at the end, which was stupid, but she was like, lols. Okay, she said, ha ha, this makes no sense, in all caps. They're trying to show Ashley mad at me politicking. No, he was mad I wouldn't sit next to him on the bus. That's what started him and Josh. Seriously, this season makes no sense. I mean, fair, Amanda, it didn't seem like it could really be about the politicking, but is that a more plausible story that it was about the bus? And like, fair, Amanda, but is it really a better, like, we didn't believe that Ashley wasn't this mad about politicking, but is it a better reason to be this mad about a bus seat?
Yeah, maybe Ash was trying to do what Josh couldn't do, try to make moves on Amanda.
Amanda's fighting off these men with, I don't know, something.
50-foot pole.
I was going to say 10-foot pole, but I felt like that wasn't the right amount of feet. I don't know. yeah, that was ridiculous. But then what gets more frustrating is just Ashley does himself so dirty here, talking about how, you know, Amanda's a bitch, she's not acting like a woman, she's not acting like a lady, and like, kudos to Josh for standing up to his partner, but I guess alcohol is the enemy once again. All he's doing is saying like, yeah, she's not acting like a lady, but you as the man need to respect her as a woman anyway. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know what that even means, and just none of it made any sense. And I guess he, Josh impressed Amanda, so he did his job. That's all he wanted to do.
Who or what is Trizilla?
Good question. No idea.
I tried to Google it, thinking like, oh, this is like a big UK thing, and then like couldn't find it. I did find a guy on Twitter who's jacked, but he only has 2 followers. So I don't know if that's like a fan account or what, but I would like, if you were an UK expert, if you tweeted us about BBUK, Celebrity Big Brother UK with Bear, which I didn't care about. Just kidding. But this I care about. Please let me know who or what this is that Ashley compared himself to.
Yes, please let us know.
I hope it's not an offensive thing. Then I don't want to know, and I'm sorry for even repeating it, but right. You know, you can't rely on MTV for editing that kind of stuff out. But nope. Or you can usually. That's what I meant. Sorry, you can rely usually on them editing out offensive stuff that people should see. But anyway, yes. I'm not debating that. Wish they edited out Josh's crying. No disrespect to a man crying, but like, the producer, like all of us watching Josh cry, is questioning all of his life choices in that moment.
Yeah, and if this was like, he's like, how much could a guy take? Like, dude, like, I mean, this was like very low bar and like challenge, like torment. So there could have been a lot more to take.
He said a ton of stuff like that on Big Brother, too. Like, it's like Josh reaches his breaking point and acts like, you know, Wes says, act like you've been here before. Like, Josh, act like you've been sad before. Come on. This is not the worst thing, remotely the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
No, certainly not. And if it is, then congratulations.
All right. So we really talked about the votes as we get to the killing floor. Anything else really to say about the way these votes fell?
No, just, yeah, I was surprised about Wes and Dee the entire episode, and seeing them go down the Josh and Amanda route once again was surprising.
I was pretty mad that Bear was so surprised that Davon voted for Cam and Ashley. Like, he's like, oh, you didn't tell me that. Like, first of all, Bear, she absolutely told you she wasn't going to vote for Polly, and you put her in a position where this team was the only team that wasn't in her Big Brother alliance. So, like, why would she not? Like, it's anybody, you know, would have known that, Bear. Certainly you.
Yep. She had no other option.
I hate Bear. I'm getting tired of talking about him. He's going to be on my TV for so long. And it's going to be so annoying.
Got a Bear with it.
Oh, that was even worse than talking about Bear.
Oh, man.
So you mentioned you were surprised about the West vote. Can we talk about the strategy here that he thinks he's going to be able to blame Jenna for the vote?
Well, again, Wes, this entire episode, I did not understand his thinking at all. So, and not his week for me, I guess.
I just wrote, why does that work? Like, it doesn't work. I think it was more just like Josh and Amanda are going to go home. So whatever.
Right. Like, yeah, I don't know. Did not get it.
They did have a tough choice because, as they pointed out on the show, it was just like a team of beasts up for it. Was Hunter and Georgia, Carr and Theo, Cam and Ashley, Kyle and Maddie, Polly and Ninja, and Nani and Turbo as their choice. I mean, who are you going to even call out here?
Yeah, I mean, you would think in the right circumstance, maybe you go after someone like Theo, but like Theo in this challenge could have basically just stood up and grabbed the top of the poll. So yeah, this was no real easy choice for them to make.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they would have done... Well, I guess Amanda and Kara hate each other. Yeah, it was kind of annoying where Josh was like, we're going to go big. Like, at this point, any of those teams would have been going big, so, like, good for you.
Yeah.
I maybe would have thought Kyle and Maddie... I guess I'm underestimating Kyle and Maddie, but also, like, I think what they did was wrong because, A, you got to go with the element of surprise. That's the only thing they have to their advantage here, is like to not pick a team that was expecting to go in tonight,
right?
You know, catch people not ready,
right?
Or maybe you go Georgia and Hunter. A, you can see the challenge. Hunter's a small guy, Georgia's small, and like even just comparing like the men and the women, like you're gonna like Amanda could probably beat Georgia, so then it's like a Hunter Josh situation. As opposed to picking Ashley and Cam, where Ashley and Cam are probably favored on both of the genders.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Hunter and Georgia would have been a better pick. And Hunter's been on your case, putting you in, whatever. So, like, it's not, like, a big deal.
Yeah. It may have been better, but, I think there was no easy answer, no real bad answer. So, I know qualms with their decision-making here.
Did you like the challenge?
You know, I did. I don't like challenges where it's one and done. Like, I know, I don't know how they could have done it if they'd done it best two out of three, but I like that sequence where you can like adjust from one round to the next. So I kind of would probably prefer that. But I didn't mind it overall. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I love this. I like when it's just, we get the full thing and it's like the momentum of, you know, like you don't have to stop and start and stop and start. I mean, I like those too, but I really like this. And I thought like truly, like Josh and Amanda impressed me. It is interesting. I liked how the sides widened, because like if it was just straight all the way up, like Josh and Amanda would have won easily. I think very interestingly, their downfall was like lack of teamwork, because they couldn't get up there. Josh was all legs. He didn't have the upper body strength at the end. And you look at Cam and Ashley and they start leaning on each other. And that's like clearly what you had to do. So it wasn't enough to just go to the top. You had to be able to strategize, and that's where Josh and Amanda failed. So I really thought this was interesting. I also thought it was evident that Josh was out of his league, not in his performance, but when he tries to wish Cam like good luck and shake her hand, like not today, dude. Like Cam is never going to be a good sport before you go into an elimination when you called her in.
Yeah, especially because it's not even like Josh and Cam are close. Like, if you're like good buddies and like you're forced to go up against each other, then yeah, maybe you'll do that. But like, why would Cam even do that? Like, there was no like backstory. Like, they, yeah, I don't know what Josh was thinking, that they were going to be like, oh, good buddies after this, after you just voted them in. Yeah, that didn't make any sense. Jeffrey Goldstein wanted to know. He thought the elimination was BS because there should have been a time limit and whichever team was higher up wins. So what did you make of the rule that if you fall, all the other team has to do is basically just surpass where you were at the time?
Yeah, I think that's a fair complaint, because it did kind of feel like, also, I was unclear because like I thought the green was where Josh and Amanda were. So like they just let them go. I thought it was like they were just letting them go to where they were. It wasn't clear that they were like above it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought the marking was made it not so exciting.
Yeah.
Because like Josh and Amanda get no credit for doing it the fastest. They just like did slightly worse. So I think that's fair. Time limit probably would have been a good suggestion. And then it's like, if you fall, though, the other team has the opportunity to just best you. But I guess the flip side of that is like, then just get to the top.
Yeah.
Because you can stop the game if you just do it. So I think a time limit might have been interesting, but I was okay with the challenge overall.
Yeah, I would have been fine with the time limit. I would have been fine without it, because, yeah, it's the risk you do for going super quick and not kind of methodically going up the wall. So yeah, so time limit or no time limit, that wouldn't sway me one way or the other.
Josh tweeted, and thank you to digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth for pulling tweets as always. Josh Martinez said, haters, Josh always cries. You damn right I will cry, and I will still check and humble you, homie. Laugh cry emoji. What is Josh's eulogy here?
Thank God, I guess he got a second chance in the game, because otherwise I don't know what future he would have had. I think, you know, he made a decent name for himself this season. Did he do enough to kind of come back? I would say it's probably 50-50, especially because, yeah, they're pulling from so many other avenues now that I don't think, you know, they need to pull from a Big Brother to get Josh, and then they could pull from another Big Brother season or last Big Brother season to get kind of other people. So while like the winner of Big Brother is kind of a cool catch, but it's not the best. So C+.
Yeah, I think Josh did way better than I expected him to do, in that I wasn't like totally annoyed with him the whole season. I think I'm happy he got a second chance, that I could feel that way. I think Josh has a nice hook of being like the drama starting non-physical guy. I don't know how much they're going in that direction. It kind of seems like in recent seasons, they've been just like looking for behemoths. Like, they just want people who can, you know, fill in the middle of the Venn diagram between challenge and good TV, like challenge ability and good TV. But if they do want to have like a couple people who are going to weigh the team down, or a couple layups, or a couple people who are just going to be focusing on shit stirring, then as opposed to being super, super athletic, then I can't think of a guy that would be more in that spot besides maybe like Shane. And I think Shane's definitely a better strategic and physical player than Josh, but I think totally. They probably share a similar spot.
Yeah, a little bit similar, a little bit.
But I think MTV's kind of moving away from that. I mean, I could see Josh as like the new guy in the Lavender Ladies with Marie and with Ashley and with Amanda, and like doing that whole thing. And then by like association kind of being with the Young Bucks, but I don't know that he's going to get the call, but that's sort of like where I see him making sense in the future.
Yeah. He did kind of get a tough draw with being on a cast with so many rookies that he wouldn't necessarily connect with, because they were going to have their own kind of crew, and then not a lot of like the vets that would kind of fit his mold. Like, you're not going to see like Bananas or CT kind of rolling with Josh and their crew. So yeah, it was kind of a tough class for Josh to join the show with.
Well, in that sense, I think him getting paired with Amanda was like his best case scenario.
Totally.
Because she's
totally
sort of like the leader of the misfits, and he's a future misfit. Look, Josh carried the episode this week. Probably Josh has carried at least other segments of this episode. He's carried segments of the episode all season. So I think he delivered. He outkicked his coverage for sure. Will he be back? Mm-hmm. I would give it a 70-30. Yes.
So I don't know if you did you watch it, this episode, online or
through
the TV? So did they have the CT and Georgia deleted bonus scene?
Oh, I didn't watch it. Wait, what do you mean? Like Did it air during the episode?
Yeah, it aired during the episode.
No, I didn't see it.
So it was like, it was very bizarre. Like they said, like, oh, like people tweeted enough about it to like, we're going to unlock like a deleted scene. Edward Morris asked if our thoughts on it. So basically it was just a scene from like the first week when they didn't know who would be paired with who. And there was a conversation between CT and Georgia being like, CT was telling her, you know, I think you're really cool. You got a great like spunk and spirit. And if, you know, I think it's going to work out that we're going to be picking partners and I definitely want to pick you. And that was the scene.
And did Georgia say great?
Yeah, she was like, great. I think, oh, like, legend CT wants to be paired with me. This is so wonderful. We'll make a great team. It was very odd. Like, very odd.
Weird that she didn't end up picking him.
Right. But also, like, to show that, like, in week seven, like, CT's been gone for a few weeks now. Like, what? I don't know. Like, what did this add?
Yeah, I mean, look, MTV, I think, does a really, really good job of engaging the audience on social media and, like, using that. So, like, it added a million more retweets for their to metrics, so good for them.
Yeah, I guess so.
We have to talk about Amanda. So Amanda's goes home, and I'm sure you saw, we talked about it to a certain extent 2 weeks ago, Amanda's issue with some of the men in the house and the tape incident.
Yes.
Have you kept up with this?
I think so. Maybe not the full details, but definitely the macro level.
Yeah, I don't think the full details are even important, but I don't think I read this tweet. So March 7th, Amanda tweeted out, alert emoji PSA, I'm disgusted with MTV and the way I've been treated about all of this S, especially when I've been so calm / understanding. They want to silence me with legal threats, but go to the media and lie, LOL. After the reunion, my career with MTV is over. I don't need their shit, I promise you. Peace emoji. So, MTV, stop calling me for next season because the answer is no. Give my spot to some desperate ass kisser instead. Kiss emoji.
Yikes. Yeah, that was very troubling.
I mean, we talked about the incident already. I think like it's a lot of like up in the air stuff. People can look into it, Google it. Us Weekly has a pretty informative like article summarizing what happened. I think the answer is we don't really know what's going on between them, but do you think that this is a real quit? Is Amanda going to be off the show? Will she come back?
I never really ever believe quits. So, I mean, do I think there's a good chance she won't be on next season? Yeah, probably. But then in a couple seasons when maybe like the attention kind of starts to go away and you want to get your name back in the limelight, do I see Amanda, if the call is even there, picking up the phone? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key word there is if the call is even there. I have no doubt that Amanda would have gotten the call without this issue. I think once you've like demonstrated an ability to like blow up the network spot, they're not going to want you back. You're like a liability.
Mm-hmm.
I also think nobody's more stubborn than Amanda. I mean, look, for the right amount of money, anyone would do anything, but Amanda's got a boyfriend she seems happy with on Instagram. She, like, to me, more than anyone who's ever quit before, has a bigger stubborn streak and would be more dedicated to that. So, I don't think we'll see her for a while, but I'd be happy to be wrong if she yep. and MTV and everyone's okay with it.
Right. Right.
We got a bunch of 5-star reviews. I'm proud to say we're over 400 5-star reviews. We have met our Boom. Quota, our goal, Boom. Our sales goal. We're at 402 5-star reviews.
Very nice.
So thanks to Sean Alvarez, who gave us a review on the Rehapups page. We will read those too. And then to Logan, a lot of G's, Red Rick 617, Mo Girlin MN, I'm sorry, that is Mo Girl in MN. So, like, what's Mo? Missouri? Montana? So. Missouri? I'm gonna get in trouble for this. I don't care. Yeah, I think it's Missouri.
Yeah, Montana's MT, right?
Okay, so Missouri Girl in Minnesota. KH_JC, Amber Ryan, both of those people shouted out the recaps, including KH_JC, who the name of the review is Megan Elizabeth Stan. And then He-Man 83 and Ashley B. Ashley B. Jones and Caitlin 587. So thank you guys for answering the call, getting us over 402. But let's not quit while we're ahead. I mean, that's the wrong phrase. Let's not quit. Let's just keep going. We really, really appreciate it. You could leave us your thoughts at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Boom.
And I also want to thank Molly Block, who did not want to be on the podcast, but sent me a donation for the SFF auction separately. She was like, I don't want to win the auction, but here's a donation. So I told her I'd thank her on the podcast.
That's funny. That's funny. She'll get a random call at some other point. She was on once, right?
She was on, yes.
There you go.
Couple more tweets. Dave On said, fun fact, my camera cut off, so I just closed my eyes and had to completely trust Bear and Jesus. Amanda said, Gus and Jenna are effing losers. If Zach were there, I guarantee Jenna would have sucked the Kara fart out of his A and said her name. You know what? If Amanda doesn't get back, I'm not going to miss reading her tweets, but I do like Amanda. Fake AF, LOLOL. I hope they leave next. That'll show him what a dumb decision that was. And then Beast, who's Ashley on Twitter, said, want to say big up to Josh and Amanda. They did well and were unlucky despite last night's ep. I got on with both of them and ain't got no hard feelings. Nice one for leaving me your cream, Amanda, and hope you got that Converse back off the roof, Josh. Oh, I guess Josh kicked a shoe off the roof.
I guess so. Can't lose a Converse.
And I'm going to use what little power I have to not read a tweet from Kara. So that feels good. what else? Oh, prospect of the week.
Yep.
I forgot. I don't have one.
Gus. It's got to be Gus. I feel like there's no other option. So got to give it to Gus.
Excellent. Goes to Gus for sure.
Yep. Drinking game. Thank you, Kyle Picard. Sent this to me. We're now best friends on Twitter. two burn votes. Tribunal voting differently, which happens like very often now. So two flashbacks to earlier in the season. Just one British slang. One clothing removed during a fight. And 17 subtitles. So a total of 24 drinks. Not 24 actual drinks, 24 sips.
I have something to add.
Okay. Mine's like a boring one. So you do yours.
Yeah, why is it harder this season? I feel like it's been harder this season.
Because there's been a lot more, it's more game focused. It's not as so much of a drama of drunken, stupid fights. It's a lot of challenge, votes, challenge, elimination, stuff like that. So
there's an inverse relationship between quality of the season and quality of the drinking game rules. I like that.
I think so.
I think that's fair. Because it's only fun to have a drinking game to something like stupid and ridiculous.
Right. Well, my rule's not going to be stupid or ridiculous, but I think it'll get more drinks. So
mine either. Like I should have said, I agree. Mine is also bad before I was like, why is everything so terrible? It's been hard for me to think of them. I'm going to say, because it was noticeable this episode too, and I'm going to add it to like sort of mock myself for thinking it was a one-time thing. Every time they show the flag at half mast.
So that was bound to add to the game. So it's perfect.
I couldn't remember if I'd already added it, to be honest.
I don't think so. I don't see it listed, so I think it's good.
All right.
Yeah, it's not listed. Mine's going to be very specific. This will just be for this season, but when you win, when you're the relic holder and you win a challenge to join the tribunal.
Fine. There you go. So,
very boring, very specific.
All right. Well, next time. I mean, pending the winner schedule, who knows when they're going to want to come on. But
right,
they will have the pressure of making a drinking game rule.
Can you check live? What's it up to?
It's still at 205. It usually corresponds to when I like tweet out a reminder about it.
I'll definitely tweet out another reminder. I won't say the amount, though. I'll let that be in suspense for people to listen.
Oh, because I'm going to be tweeting to be like, if it gets to 250, I'll do this. Oh,
okay. Well, I guess that's true. It's not a blind voting. You see what the amount is at this point, so. I could say
Okay. I more wanted to hear your reaction. That's why I was like, Brian,
that's crazy. I came with 205. You were like teasing me earlier. Like, you're never going to guess. I was like, $15. You're like, oh, I don't know.
I know. I tried to downplay it when you originally said 60 to me. And it's at 206.
Boom.
I think it was at 206. No. Oh, did we go up a dollar?
Someone heard us.
Every dollar counts. I had Brian text me a guess this morning just in case it like somebody said something and you saw it. He said $60 and I was like, look, like just to give you an idea, like things don't go for any money.
Hey, like, threw me off the like
15. I'm just
my first
like
guess
MTV.
Was 53 cents, so
that's true. And I was like, you're overrating us.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. I gotta get all to right. this auction. I gotta see the results.
Yes. All right, we'll be back next week with maybe someone now owns the podcast for next week, episode 8. Till then, have a good one. Bye.